The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Mighty, Marvelous, Mesmerizing, I hope, Miraculous Monday, as we head into the week with strength from the Lord, faith in our circumstances, hope in our hearts, love in our spirits, to the honor of our King. First up, it's not the universe that's against us. It's the enemy and the world system, which are those people that the enemy uses, but we have a power connection. Next, we examine how far our enemy will actually go in going against us. And the reality check is that it's a lot farther and a lot deeper than you and I think. And finally, we cover the power, purpose, and the reliability of the Bible. God created the universe. He can write a book. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Good idea. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can give us a call, and this is what's really cool. If you call us, you can use the phone. You would dial 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone. Everything will be absolutely terrific. You will not receive a shock. That's awesome. You can also text the show at 214-210-8483. Those are the only two methods we're going to use today, because I don't like the idea of people throwing rocks with little notes attached to them at me, so we're going to take a pass on that. Now, it's for praise reports, prayer requests, comments, questions, whatever the case may be, plus trivia. But before I give you the trivia question, I thought maybe it would be a good idea if I answered the trivia question from last week that I forgot to answer on the exit or on the way out. There's the trivia question that I asked. What tribe was responsible in Israel for moving the tabernacle? And the answer, of course, was the tribe of Levi. Whoops. Not that I am incapable or incapable of making a mistake. I've already made 5 mistakes on this introduction already. So you should just know you're in good hands all the way across. Here is the first trivia question for today. You know, I was worried all week long. I was thinking people going, what's the trivia question? What's the answer? You know, they spent all Saturday going, tell us, Dave. Okay. If that was the case, you spent a lot of wasted time there. That's all I'm going to say to you. All right, here we go. Yeah, making it super, super cool. Here you go. The Bible suggests in Psalm 90... that 1,000 years in God's sight is how long? Ooh, there you go. Just going to leave it right there. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to text in. Either way, that's okay. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? Because it's not professional radio. I've proved that on a regular basis 450 or so times. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So we have our trivia question laid out. The Bible suggests that 1,000 years in God's sight is as how long? That is the first of things. The next of things, let me give you a couple of things to make sure that everybody stays in sync with. What is it that's important about a Christian? What they're made of. What does that mean? That means that what we're made of matters. And as Christians, we are made of DNA. And D stands for draw closer to the Lord daily. N stands for never be ashamed. And A stands for always be ready to serve. That's important. That's what you're made of. All right, we've got somebody calling in already and getting set for them to answer the trivia question. Here we go. Or they're just really talking to T and trying to get some general information about the pizzas that we like. What are we going? We're going with trivia. No. Yes. No. Yeah. What are you doing?
I lost the phone ring.
You lost the ring?
I did. But we're going to pick up.
Okay. So just go ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding.
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, you're talking to Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Great to hear your voice. Great to hear your voice. We've temporarily lost our ring, ding, ding thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure y'all will get it back.
I'm positive she's going to find it. All right. All right. There we go. All right, my good friend. Here it is. A straightforward question. It's classic. The Bible suggests that 1,000 years in God's sight is as how long?
One day.
That is correct, sir. You are right. Now, you know that joke, right? I'm going to give you that. You know that joke, right? Where the guy says, you know, Lord, what's $1 million to you? Well, that's like a penny. Mm-hmm. What's 1 million years to you? It's like a second. And then the guy goes, well, can I have a penny? And guy goes, just a second.
That's great. That's good.
Excellent job, my brother. Awesome to hear your voice. Always wonderful to hear you.
Yeah, well, I'm always listening, but sometimes I just can't get to the phone.
I understand that. Fully understand that. But I appreciate it. I appreciate you stepping in. That's a great job.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
You too, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Loving it. Hearing from Ronnie. Yay! Haven't heard from a while. We got the bell back. We got everything back. The ring back. We're all set to go. Yeah, there it is. See? She's proving it. All right. I want to talk to you about this. I don't want you to get, don't get bummed out on me. Just listen to what I'm trying to say. You know, I know there's a lot of people and they're on different sides of the fences and all these political things. But as you know, in this show, we try to follow what it says. It says, turn not to the right or the left. 24 times, by the way, in the Bible, it says 22 times. It says, turn not to the right or the left. And 2 times it says, turn not to the left or right. We try to do this top center thing because we think the kingdom of God and seeking the kingdom of God first is what we would call a priority. Because that's what Jesus said it is. So here, I want to make sure from a kingdom point of view, you hear what I'm about to share. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8 through 9 says this. All of them conspired together and came and fought against Jerusalem to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God. So as Nehemiah was coordinating the rebuilding of the wall and the rebuilding of the city and the getting themselves ready to dedicate themselves to the Lord, there was opposition. And I want to say this in a way that people can really practically use some of this material. There is opposition to the things that you and I try to do in the kingdom of God. One time I was driving to work. I'm not going to tell you where or when, but I'm just going to tell you that this actually happened, actual event. And I could not for the life of me figure out why it was so difficult to accomplish a particular task. And I was praying and I just kind of didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And I was like, oh, this is just driving me nuts. This is just driving me nuts. And I said, man, I really wish I knew what was going on. Why is the Lord, you know, restrained this or what's going on? And the passage in Matthew 13 came to mind when it says an enemy has done this, talking about the sowing of the tares and the wheats. And it dawned on me for probably about 60 seconds that I'm in spiritual warfare as a Christian. And I don't think we last in that thinking because we think it's either it sounds spooky or it sounds goofy. You know, and I understand that. Don't miss it. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's kind of sometimes it's hard to define. But Satan is in opposition to us, and he does fight against us. And some of you, you're going through things and you can't figure out, yeah, I just can't get through. I can't break through this. I can't get through this. And there's a requirement here that you submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There has to be a submission to God first and fully. And when we say submission, that word means surrender. So for everybody's trying to figure out a way to get around that, if you're a Christian, there is no way to get around that. Submit is surrender, and surrender is submit. And the passage calls for a full yielding to the Lord. And if we are yielding to the Lord, there is a strength inside us to fight or to resist against the devil. And then the devil doesn't have that push against us, and we can resist him, and he will flee. He will actually, the word is flee, which means to run away, just like a bunny rabbit runs away. It's like the idea behind this is that we are surrendered to God, and that the power of God is operating in our lives, and then the enemy can't break through. But oftentimes, I find myself trying to do these spiritual warfare bits in my own strength, in my own wisdom. And guess what? Satan's been working on mankind from the beginning, and he's been doing a pretty effective job at directing mankind into sin. And I can't, of my own power, my own will, I can't resist, but through Jesus Christ, through the redeeming work that comes through the work of Christ, through the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to stand or put up with that. The difficulty is I forget. So I'm just being honest, like, oh yeah, there's spiritual warfare. It's like, you know, it's like you almost like need to be reminded when you're supposed to put the armor of God on. You're not supposed to put it on once a year, right? I mean, this is like, that's not how that goes. And if you're a person that's like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, Dave. I've never had spiritual warfare in my life. Then that's a whole separate problem for you because Satan's operating at levels you don't even see. And that's not good. So here's the reality check Monday morning. We need to be surrendered to the Lord and have a full surrender and submission to the Lord and then be in a place where we can understand, see, and discern to resist the enemy and what he's doing, and thereby he will flee. And us, we need to be aware that that's taking place. Now, when I come back, I'm just telling you, I got a part two to this that's really important, and you're going to think, oh, he's lost his mind. Maybe so, but it still applies to you and I, and you'll see when we get there. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity. from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, in regards to September and Glenn, who provided that music, and have livinginhisgrip.com, September is doing better from her surgery, but keep her and Glenn in prayer. That's always an important element to keep an eye on. Let's get ready. We're going to do our trivia and give acknowledgement to our trivia sponsor, and that's going to be Coach at Texas Air King.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at texasairking.com.
All right, the coolest company. I do have a meeting tomorrow with Coach, hopefully at 3:30, and that his schedule moves, it's more flexible. And then I'm supposed to have that meeting tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Don. Hopefully that all goes well. I will give you a quick update on my health. Most people did want to know how I'm doing. And I got all of my test stuffies back. And I'm actually, all of my blood work, they did a comprehensive top to bottom, blah, 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 blah. I'm in better health now than I've been in 10 years. Now, I want to be careful to make sure you don't understand. I'm not thinner than I was. Okay. And cardio-wise, I could be doing a lot better. And diet-wise, I'm getting the same flashing thing every time. Less sugar, less sugar, less sugar. That's all they are. I walk in the door, they just go, less sugar, spoon. Here we go. Because it's like, what? That's my problem. I like brownies. I can't help it. No. I like them. I can only say that. All right. Trivia question. We didn't do our trivia question, did we? Okay, so here's our trivia question. I do want to let everybody know. Here it is. Two Old Testament cities were destroyed because of their great wickedness. This is an earlier on in Genesis, or maybe midway point. What were the names of those two cities that were destroyed? This is Texas Air King and Coach sponsoring this, so I'm going to make sure that people get a chance to get that. What were the two cities that were destroyed? Well-known cities that were destroyed, okay? All right, so I just want to say that most of the advice, I already got it in. We already got answers coming in. I love it when answers come in. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to reach us out to us in whatever way, shape, or form you can. Before we go any further, I got to tell you this joke I came across. That's right. Tea is ready. She's got the wrong buzzer ready. No, this is funny. This is funny. It's not even really a Christian joke. It's just one of those funny jokes that somebody came up with. I forgot about this joke and came across it. A guy named Tim Northern told this joke. This is what he said. This is him, right? Man, I've had some struggles with some issues lately, but they gave me a patch to help me out. They've got a patch for everything. They got a patch for everything these days. They got a patch to help people for smoking. They have a patch to help people for pregnancy. They have a patch to help people for weight loss. They have a patch to help people with energy. They even have a patch if your eye is missing. Patch if your eye is missing. because that was the purpose of the patch. You see? You're not even responding. You're looking at me like, did I not tell him? Okay. I got a double buzz. Wow!
I didn't get it.
Okay, see, because the original idea of a patch was because if somebody had an eye, and they have an eye problem, they put a patch over it. Then you have all these other patches. Okay. You know, they're done. Okay. Still didn't get passed. Okay, anyhow, the trivia question still stands. Two Old Testament cities, very well known, destroyed because of their great wickedness. What were the names of those two cities? If you know, you can text it in. You can also call it in. It looks like somebody's calling in to... I thought the patch joke was cute. You know, back in the day. All right. Here we go with our buzzer. See, you got that happening. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. And you had a good weekend, I hope?
Yes, I did have a good weekend. Got to spend a little extra time with my wife, which for us is all we ever want to do is just hang out together. So it's like it worked out really good for us.
Good.
Yeah, that's
good deal.
That's what we like the most. All right, got a good question here from Texas Air King. What two Old Testament cities were destroyed because of their great wickedness?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
That is correct! Mary has done it again! Nice job!
Dear.
Very, very good job. I hope you had a nice weekend, too.
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend.
Okay.
Quiet, but you know, that's okay.
Well, that's good.
I'm a single person. So I envy you. At least you got a partner, you got a wife that you can share everything with. But I had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Anyway, is David Strober? Oh, how do you say his name?
The fellow that you talked to at the beginning? Lee Strobel.
Lee, that's right. Lee.
Yeah, great guy.
Are you going to talk to him anymore today?
No, that was an older clip. So sometimes we'll play older clips from people. We do that a lot because it fills in some of the time, gives me a chance to rest between teachings.
Oh, okay.
So, but still, a lot of fun to hear and a lot of fun to hear somebody like him.
Yeah. That's right.
Excellent. Thank you, Mary. You did a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. Hey, Mary's so nice. You know, isn't she? She's just sweet.
She's so sweet.
So sweet. All right. Let's go ahead. Now I got to get to this next thing. Now, don't get mad at me if I stay on a theme, folks. It's never the intent. I do want to mention our website, by the way, before we disappear out of that. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. YouTube, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. By the way, if we don't get a little more response, my meeting with Don will be very short tomorrow. That's all I'm going to tell you. We need a little bit of help. We're a little down this month, so I'm just, I am trusting the Lord. But, I mean, that's still, you know, it's nice to be able to go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, versus oi, oi, oi. See, those are different. All right, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 9. I just want to carry on this theme, and then the next segment is going to be Bible, really oriented towards understanding the Scripture. And get ready for that, I think. It's very, very helpful. But what I want you to be aware of is this next portion that happened in Nehemiah. I already mentioned that there is spiritual warfare, but I want you to see that I think that Christians are not aware of how deep that warfare can go. And I know that a lot of people are like, well, it's not really spiritual warfare. It's exactly spiritual warfare. In fact, Jesus did not just deal with Satan in the very beginning of his ministry. He cast out spirits. He even had to remove Peter's thought process by calling him Satan, when Peter was more geared towards telling Jesus how to run things. So there's a lot that is within Scripture, just so you can know. In fact, Satan and his kingdom and the warfare against him is mentioned twice as much as taking care of the poor, but nobody wants to talk about that just because it doesn't seem like it's a lot of fun to talk about. Here's the bottom line. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 9. Then I sent a message to him saying, and this is again Nehemiah being challenged on this work that he's trying to build kingdom. He's trying to build up the wall. He's trying to build things up. And then what happens happens is these people make a false report about him. I'm not talking fake news that you see on television. I'm talking about personalized rumors against people like yourself. He said, then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged and the work will not be done and they will stop. But now, O God, Nehemiah says, strengthen my hands. Here's what I want you to catch. Just get out for a second of all the weird politics stuff and think about this from the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. How far will the enemy go against you? Well, look, right here, against a leader of Israel, somebody who's trying to rebuild the temple of God, somebody who's trying to establish walls and establish the people of God to be strong in the kingdom of God. How far will the enemy go? The enemy invented things about him, invented things about the people. And the purpose for that was, get this, to bring about discouragement. So let me explain this to you, how this works together. The word Satan means accuser. Accuser of the brethren is one of his titles. He's an accuser. He accuses people. And who does he accuse Christians to? Themselves and other Christians and then the world. And he's an accuser. And the purpose of that accusation, get this, is to discourage you. This is why you hear me yell, scream, froth at the mouth, whatever phrase you want to use, about us knowing what the Word of God has to say, because the enemy is the father of lies, and our job is to know the truth so that we can stand against the lies. You don't have to know the lies. You have to know the truth so that when the lie comes, you know it ain't right. And the enemy only does stuff like this to us, about one another, towards one another, to shut us down. That's his goal. His goal is to stop by any means, that's what he still exists for, the kingdom of God advancing in individual and corporate lives. You know what your job is? To build the kingdom in individual and corporate lives. You're in the exact opposite track as Satan. That's his job, is to stop you at your job. And what he does with how he does that is he uses lies. So your job is to know the Bible. That's the book for me. I stand by faith on the Word of God. It's the Bible. Okay? All right. Take a break and then come back to some intense stuff. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and six months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay, and so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's just, it's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. It's a good one. It's a good one. I think it's a good one. I hope everybody else thinks it's a good one. By the way, Terrific T did a fantastic job last week, so I want to give you the golf clap. Covering for Jennifer. She did an excellent job keeping everything running. That was excellent. We even prayed one time when the radio was down and went back up. It's like, yeah, we'll take it all day long. Which of the 12 disciples, okay, now you got a 1 in 12 chance here, right? Which of the 12 disciples was in charge of the money? Who's in charge of the money? You're welcome to text in. If you know, you're also welcome to call in either way. In the meantime, let's not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. It was really cool just about hearing about Ray in that off time right there, because the last thing I'm teaching today is one of Ray's devotionals. See, it just, I didn't know, we didn't know, nobody knew. I just love stuff like that. Like, oh, I know that's the right thing to be teaching now. And then before we get to the teaching on the Bible, specifically going to be hitting that, let's make sure we cover what we like to call a little bit of history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, so for those that do not know, on this day, this is technically National Button Day. Okay, I don't know why buttons need a day. I don't know if there is a button labor party, or if the buttons have a legal representative. I'm not sure what's going on, but apparently they do. It's also have a party with your bear day, your stuffed bear. So, I mean, that's always good. We like stuff like that. So, I mean,
man, I thought it meant an actual bear.
An actual bear.
That would have been fun.
that would have been short-lived.
Very.
Very short-lived. It's also National Fast Food Day, so I just want to say, I know that fast food is, you don't have to tell me, I know, I've been hearing it for doctors for 50 years, but I still have a couple of fast food things I like. Do you have any particular fast food you like? Do you like Noelle is much more Taco Bell Del Taco oriented than I am. So, I mean, and then I'm going to be more Arby's oriented than she is.
I want Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is really good. I like that. In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, yeah.
In-N-Out Burger is great.
Whataburger is better.
Is it really? Wow. Well, that's pretty good. Whataburger is better. Oh, my goodness. Before we get the person on the air who's going to answer the trivia question while everybody's just getting on board. Good to see you, Joy. Good to see you, Cordy. Let me tell you this real quickly. For those that don't know, in 1959, in this day, The Sound of Music, the Broadway musical, opened. And then I thought this was fascinating, so I thought I would bring it up. In 1904, in this day, the British electrical engineer John Ambrose Fleming filed a patent for his vacuum tube, also known as a thermionic valve, and that actual valve is really what ushered in the modern era of electronics. We don't think of electronics coming out of electrical engineer vacuum tube, but it did. And it's like, that I just did not have any idea whatsoever. Okay. Caller, here we go. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's me again.
Hi, Mary. How are you? It's good to hear your voice.
I just know the answer. You know,
I know you know it.
I did try to wait.
Not a problem. All right. Which of the 12 disciples was in charge of the money?
Judas Iscariot.
That is correct. Now, I will say this. I think you'll appreciate this. Now, it was really up to Jesus to decide who was going to be in charge of the money. And even though he knew he was a thief, he still put him in charge of that position. And it's like, that's that. The Lord does many things that blow people away. One of those is allowing somebody like Judas into the circle, even though he was going to fail him. But that's the love of God. It's so grand. It's so great.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's true. And Judas, you know, he could have repented after he gave Jesus a kiss.
Yeah.
He really had time to repent, but he didn't. So.
Yep. Good job, Mary.
Oh, I'm glad you're talking about Nehemiah. He's one of my favorite persons, too.
Oh, I love Nehemiah.
And if you read Nehemiah and Ezra together, you know, they left together when a bunch, I don't know how many, left to go back to Israel.
Yep.
Go back to Jerusalem.
A joint
and
effort.
One day I read the two books together. It's kind of nice to read the two books together, you know, a chapter of each, because they both went back to Jerusalem at the same time.
Yep. Excellent. So, good job. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it.
Okay. You have a good evening, okay?
Okay. God bless.
Yeah, Lord bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Mary's stepping in. Let's get ready. This is a really cool little teaching. I want to talk to you a little bit about this, so everybody needs to listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Listen. Okay, well, I want to talk a little bit about understanding the power and the purpose of the Bible. Now, most of you know that God, he created the universe, right? The dude can write a book. Now, we say that with tongue-in-cheek because we know we're saying that particular way. But I don't think people recognize just how deep this goes. From time to time, I like to remind us all, because we forget where inspiration can come from. It comes from the breath of God. We're going to get into that in a second. Our God, by the way, is fair and just. So whatever the process is, for those who never hear the gospel, we can count on the quality of God for the end game. There's a lot of people that say, well, what about the guy that's on an island that he never hears the gospel? What happens to him? And that's when I always say, oh, I'm really glad you're sending him money. Oh, wait, you're not sending him money because you really care so much. So anyway, that's just kind of a tactical thing that people will use. God knows exactly how it goes and what's going on. That is no excuse on our side to ignore the commission, which is not just to go, but it's to go and to make disciples. And some people say, no, the subject word is just make disciples. And it's like, it's kind of both. Go and make disciples. But the bottom line to this process is, because we don't know how it's all going to turn out in the very, very end, we do our job, that which is committed to us, and we follow what the Lord tells us to follow, and his message and how it's proclaimed and what he has to say. It's not based on what we think or how we feel about it, or if we feel it's a fair system or not a fair system. It's not your message. It's not your truth. It's not your gospel. It's his. You either tell it or you don't. Okay? That's it. And we can keep this a little more simple, which I want to do, actually. The Gospels don't contradict each other for a different reason than you would think. The Gospels don't contradict each other because the Bible is not a history book, per se. It's a story of redemption. And you have four, watch this, four, how many? Four points of view in regards to the events of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. We've talked about this before, and we'll say it again. If four people approached an elephant from the different sides, east, west, north, and south, there would be a couple of things that are similar, but there would absolutely, absolutely, absolutely not be 100% unity in that description, even though all of those descriptions would be accurate. Like witnesses to any event ever in court, their testimonies are similar, but never the exact same. Ever. That's just a reality check. So for those that are approaching from an east-west point of view and come across the trunk or the rear of an elephant, they're going to see something entirely different than the sides of the elephant. That's just how that goes, okay? Again, we've talked about this before. If God created the universe, he can write a book. And if your God can't write a book and keep a book, your God is lame. That's my answer. Read Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter. There's more documentation for the New Testament than any other book ever. And I really do encourage you to read Josh McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter. It really helps you understand things. 20,000 legal manuscripts for the New Testament. Second place is the Iliad, which has about 623 or 639. So there's more historical documentation from the New Testament than any other book. Adam and Eve, Noah, significant evidence, by the way, the world was fully underwater at one time. Jericho, biblical archaeologists have found the walls flattened, but they don't know how that happened. Jonah, a large fish that swallowed a man, which, by the way, has happened 1,000 times, but that somebody survived it, that's the miracle. All of those, and the resurrection, these are all truthful teachings that come from Scripture and are not allegorical teachings, because Jesus cites them as actual events in his own teaching. The most bizarre thing is everybody laughing about Adam and Eve being the first two human beings, but every geneticist ever agrees that life started with a single male and a single female. We call them Adam and Eve. What's the problem here? There's no problem. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul, spirit, and between the joints and the marrow, and exposing the inmost thoughts. Here's the most important thing to remember and never to forget. The same breath that went into Adam to create Adam as a living being is the same breath that went into the Bible. The Bible is God-breathed. What happened when God breathed into Adam? He became alive. Well, the word of God is God-breathed. You want to know what God has to say? You want to be alive to God? The breath of God is in that book. I'm out of time. I can go on for this for hours and hours, but just understand the purpose and the power of the Bible. It's there for you to help you, to bless you. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there, And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the Father and the Father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, James Robeson is something. That guy in the interview, we have to replay that whole interview. You have to listen. He is just like, rawr. He's like a lion in the kingdom. I love it. You know, the righteous are as bold as a lion. That dude qualifies. Let's see. We're going to skip our trivia question for right now because I have so much I've got to try and cover in just this little time. So let me say this real quickly. Please don't forget. I just got an email from Eric. So Eric, I just emailed you back. Please don't forget. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. Okay, I want to make sure, because I didn't get enough time to do it on that Bible teach, and I'm going to redo that, I think, probably next week as well, just going from a couple of different angles. But I want to make sure that you hear what this one thing is that I got the impression from the Lord that He wanted me to share, and then we had that little Ray replay. Let me just say, for those that don't know, Ray put out Ray Bentley is the senior pastor at Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California. He's a friend of mine. He's a great minister. He's helped launch, I think, 40 or 50 ministries at this point. His church is large, not one of the largest, but they go somewhere between 9 and 11,000 people. He's a great guy. He's got a fantastic spirit, closely connected to Chuck Smith in the heyday, and just really a big blessing for San Diego. Well, he wrote a book called This Day, and it's a devotional. And the devotional, for those, I know that there's some people that we have that got the book, but the big thing about devotional books, you got to read them all the time. You got to stay consistent because that's where that big difference is. So I came across one of these things that he taught on today, and I want to share on that. I do want to let you know you can buy this book directly on our website. We don't take a single penny for it. It just all goes to Ray, or you can go to raybentley.com. That's Ray Bentley. BENTLEY.com and buy the book directly. We've had several people buy it, and we have it, and we just think it's a great book. Listen to this devotional. It's called What's in the Way? This is from Ray. What do I still lack? Matthew 19:20. A young man knew something was missing in his life. So he approached Jesus and asked, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? If you want to enter into life, Jesus responded, keep the commandments. Jesus listed a few commandments, and the man assured him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? The story is told in each of the first three Gospels. Combining facts, we know that he was a rich, young, and some kind of ruler man, probably or potentially connected with the synagogue, a righteous, obedient, successful, upstanding citizen. But he knew there was more to life than what he was experiencing. Maybe that's why, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Jesus knew that what he was about to ask would be hard, but necessary. Following the law was not the way to eternal life. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." He knew exactly what was standing in the way of eternal life for this young man. Eternal life is not possible apart from Jesus, and he will challenge you on whatever is in your life that keeps you from following him. For the rich young ruler, his wealth was his God. Ray writes, "I believe Jesus also felt compassion for this young man when he knew the sorrow he would experience. Indeed, we are told, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because of his great wealth. Was there hope for the rich young ruler?" This is Ray commenting. "I like what biblical scholar Alfred Edersheim said, for looking at him, in his sincerity and earnestness, he loved him, for he loves those that are his own. And although we hear no more of him, who that day went back to his rich home very poor, because very sorrowful, we cannot but believe that he whom Jesus loved hopefully found in the poverty of the earth the treasure of heaven." Ray writes, "What's holding you back from a deeper relationship with the Lord? Do you feel sorrow over what is lacking in your life? Surrender what is holding you back. Surrender what is holding you back. Surrender what is holding you back. There is hope and there is life because Jesus loves you." What's fascinating about this devotional is the challenge to each one of us, not just to make the initial decision to follow Jesus Christ. Most of you who listen to the show have done that. And I applaud that, and I stand with you in that as I have made that decision. But there is a difference between making that decision and continually making that decision and pressing in. Jesus had followers that followed him, and then the sayings would get hard and the times would get hard, and then they would stop following Jesus. And that's what we don't ever want to be like. It's amazing if you look at the life of Jesus, how in the first year, everybody loved him. He was so popular. In the second year, he was establishing more of his authority in the ministry, and there were more challenges that came against him by the rulers. By the third year, they hated him. Right? Because he kept telling the truth. He wasn't just a flash in the pan. He just kept declaring the truth. Well, for us, we don't want to be like the disciples that heard Jesus' sayings, loved it, knew it was fantastic, but then the harder it got, we were like, "Ugh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to give up my big screen TV right now." We need to be like the disciples that said to Jesus, when Jesus said, "You don't want to leave also, do you?" When they said to him, "Where else could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." There is nowhere else to go. And if we allow something in our lives to take such possession of us as to hinder us from coming closer and closer to God, it's our fault. It doesn't mean that you will do it perfectly or you'll act perfectly or you'll function perfect in every moment of every day. I've never seen that in Scripture, and that would defy the words of grace and mercy. In fact, on this radio station, one of the people asked a question. There was a question on a quote, and the person of the quote said, "If anybody met the Lord, they would always be perfect." It's like, that just means that person doesn't understand grace at all. They're just absent, void of understanding. Here's what it is. It's that you want to be that way for the Lord because you love the Lord, and you're growing in that step by step as you become more like Jesus. But just because you're not 100% perfect doesn't mean you can't have your heart 100% in. And so if there is anything in your life, anything in my life, anything in our lives that stands between Jesus and us, we are effectually making that a priority over him. Like I said, it's not because we want to disappoint the Lord. We want to do it right, but we can't allow anything to distract us from our focus on who God really is. And you look to Jesus and you say, towards you I go. And if I fail and if I stumble and along the way I bump into a table or smack into a wall, don't forget me and don't abandon me. Grab me and pull me through so that I can get there. Because all of us are on this journey. And I've yet to meet any man or woman, any being, except for God himself, who has fully arrived, which means we all have a ways to go. And so we get up the next day, we put one foot in front of another foot, one foot in front of another foot, we spend more time in Bible, more time in prayer, more time in fellowship, and we keep pushing on and seeking first the kingdom of God. This one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind me and pressing forward to the things which are before me. And we don't let anything in our life take that priority or that spot where Jesus is. You don't let any person, including yourself, take that spot. That spot is his and his alone. So whatever it is, if it's money, if it's relationship, if it's a lust, if it's power, if it's anything that trips you up, ask the Lord to do his surgical work and break it down. Because there is nothing in this world that you need more than you need Jesus. Period. End. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.